Well, that was great today. Could feel you worshiping out here. That was so nice, and felt like we really broke through some things. And when we worship like that, we should expect that we're pushing the boundaries of that, we're pushing the kingdom out, and it extends. It's the concept of extending the pegs of your tent. And we had a tent. We know what that's all about. And if you want to extend the bound, you have to put them out further out. And we put up our tent, those little traditional stakes that were this long and like 1 inch. You know, they're pretty hefty, but we had to go make some out of 1 inch rebar. And I think some of them were almost 8 foot long. It's like, yeah. We had to hold that puppy down. It wanted to fly, so. I hate panic. I hate fear. I really hate it when it's in the church, when it's in our midst, when we're trying to function in ministry. Like, we cannot function in fear and panic and anxiety and every other fleshly thing that shows up when we're trying to push through things. The need, as it is today, sometimes tremendous. And the giants that move in on us, they can be very big and very intimidating. We don't have to take away from that, but we've got to find the right place. And I was... Actually, some, you know, just prayer and concerns for Cheryl this week and different things that were developing. And I just had this overwhelming sense. And I went back into my study and just started to read about the Sabbath rest of God. Because I know before we even try to operate in faith, we must enter into his rest. And there's a lot of language about that we're going to look at. When you try to move in faith before you're in the rest, then it's all on you. I don't like it all being on me. As soon as it's on me, and I feel it's on me, I have a real problem. I start misfiring and stuttering and limping, and because condemnation enters in, and the voice of the enemy sitting on my shoulders telling me, reminding me of how, you know, I'm not adequate. You're not enough, he says. You're not enough. And if I press through in that, then my faith, my prayers, my ministry, anything I'm trying to do, trying to grow the church, whatever has happened, it all is like it stinks, it smells. You can feel the striving in it. If our worship has striving in it, it just doesn't get up very high, does it? It just doesn't go. But if it comes from in here... See, I grew up in an era, it's like came out of the Baptist church, but then my early days in the Pentecostal church or Spirit-filled churches was anybody up front was trying to cheerlead you into worship and coach you into it. Let the joy bells ring. I thought if I heard that one more time from the guy that was trying to lead worship, I'd just lose my stuff, you know? Like, oh, God, stop. It can't be that. It's got to be more. And so we learn how to worship out of our love relationship with the Lord. And that's why we loved all the Vineyard songs and different things. I mean, they took me through an incredible season of my life where I really awakened to relationship with the Lord. We're going to get to Hebrews chapter 3 and 4 in a moment. I'm going to start out, though, in Psalms 95 because... In Hebrews 3 and 4, Psalms 95 is referenced and quoted. David wrote this psalm. He was pretty good at this stuff. And starting in verse 7, "For we are the lovers he cares for, and he is the God we worship." That's a great perspective. We are the lovers he cares for, and he is the God we worship. So drop everything else and listen to his voice. And a few weeks ago, I shared about speak the word. Moses was specifically instructed in the account in Exodus 20, I think that's correct where we were. And he was instructed specifically, speak to the rock. Now, God and Moses were both totally frustrated with Israel at that moment. They're lucky they survived the whole situation. Why? Because they were arguing, and they were angry, and they were accusing towards Moses and God, and out came the stones. You know, they always had that, always grabbing stones. They get mad, they get frustrated, out come the stones. They just keep showing up all through, you know, stones, yeah. So I know what, we don't like our leader anymore, let's stone him, and then we'll elect another one. You know, I don't know, it's weird. And that spirit of murder and killing and frustration came out again, and Moses was specific, speak to the rock. But out of his frustration, he hit the rock. They got the water, but right away the Lord's like, guess what? You made a bad mistake. In this instance, Moses, I needed you to speak. Because the kingdom that's coming and my son that is coming, it's going to all be about speaking. And almost 90 more percent or more percent of what Jesus did in his ministry was speaking and declaring, was it not? Speaking the word, and then we need to learn to declare. Dabar shalom, like declare peace, speak peace. Hear it. Hear the word of the Lord, Shema, and then declare peace, declare the word, release the word. That's where your power lies. We should practice that. If we can't get healing down very good, I think we should practice until we do. If someone's practicing anything, you don't really condemn them when they can't hit the mark or they can't perform, right? I think the church needs to adopt that mentality. Instead of waiting till we're perfect in things, and then we never get around to it. We need to just practice. I was having these thoughts, because I'm always having thoughts. Aren't we always having thoughts? And we consider things, and we're like, I should step out more, but if I really did things the way Jesus did, like he looks at 10 lepers, he doesn't even tell them they're healed. He tells them, hey, go to the priest and get declared clean. I've not found that in any book, manual, how-to book, right? They listen. They start on their way. They get healed. One comes back and gives thanks. But as soon as the movement happens, it's like, okay, healing 103, part one, point two, point eight, you know? Just all kinds of nothing we can grasp that here's how it always happens because you can't. But faith linked to, and out of the place, I will encourage you, you got to get in the Sabbath rest first. You got to enter into the rest. For this is what is he saying today. When I speak, don't even think about turning a deaf ear to me like they did when they tested me at Meribah, which means strife, and Massah, which means testing, the place where they argued with me, their creator. Don't do that. Just a little note, don't argue with God. I know you want to. You think you should have something now. Now's a good time. For this, that, the other, right? You're always convinced that when you're asking for something, now's a good time to get it. But a loving father is like, no, not yet. Well, you know, that throwing a tantrum thing. It's like, okay, when you calm down, I'll explain this to you. You're not ready for that. You won't be able to walk in it. You won't be able to keep it. What happens if you get a marriage too early? What happens if you get a house too early? What happens if you get a ministry too early? Better to wait. Wait on the Lord. You don't want to try this without the timing being right. And when we do, we have Ishmaels. We make messes. Don't argue. Your ancestors challenged me over and over with their complaining, even though I had convinced them of my prayer and love, power and love. They still doubted my care for them. So for 40 years, this was a long time, I was grieved and disgusted by them. I described them as wicked wanderers whose hearts would not follow my ways to keep my words. And in verse 11 of where I'm in Psalms 95, so I made a vow in my anger and declared, like, this is kind of, and it's a really bad, it's a sad story. When you try God to the point where he's like, out of my anger, I'm like, you, okay. You will never enter in. Like, oh, my heart. I mean, you read this, your heart can faint a little bit. You're like, I've been stubborn for a good while doing things my own way. Did I miss it? They will never enter the resting place I've planned for them, so don't ever be hard-hearted or stubborn like they were. Okay. I heard that. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. And I'm going to begin in verse 12. So search your hearts every day, my brothers and sisters, and make sure that none of you has evil or unbelief hiding within you, for it will lead you astray and make you unresponsive to the living God. That stuff, allowing things to well up in your life and heart, they always start little and innocent, but they're not. The unbelief or the evil, either way, we justify it. It begins to kill your spirit. Like it dulls you. It hardens you. It's really sad when you encounter a person with a hard heart. Have you all witnessed that someplace? It's hard to reach a person that has a hardened heart. It's a very serious condition. You can put money on it, it won't fix. You can even sometimes put affection on it, it won't. Hard heart's a very serious condition, worse than heart disease. So the scary thing is that we all can get that condition. It comes from you turning a deaf ear to the Spirit, nudging you and convicting you and leading you. This is a very simple. Keep fresh with your stuff. If you do something wrong, you grieve the Spirit, stop there, repent. Just walk in repentance. Stop worrying about whether you're going to do it again. Just start there. Keep it fresh. You recognize unforgiveness in your heart? Deal with it. I was recently reading something by the Desert Fathers that a man named Henry Nouwen had written. And they were way back monks and different things they went after. And in one of the sections, they were talking about how to, this is oxymoron language, but how to die to your neighbor so that you can be compassionate. See, there's some dying that needs to take place in your like expectations, like people being perfect, you know, like you are. And as soon as we encounter an imperfection in the neighbor, we're like not loving them as easily. And then it can go right to the other end of the spectrum, right? And so in this, these monks identified this list of things. And one of them was, do not allow yourself to dislike anyone. Now, see, here's what we do religiously. We go, well, I don't hate them. Have you forgiven them? Oh, yeah. Have you ever listened to someone respond that way and you're like, sure you have. I can feel it. I can feel the love, okay? And this word dislike, I went, I've been getting away with it. I've been sneaking that no one sees this, but there's, you know, few people I hold dislike and I think it's okay. I'm like, I'm not hating them. Like, I allowed it. Like, this is true confessions, okay? I'm not proud of this. I didn't even realize what it was till I read that. I went, oh, light came on there. I'm like, I got to stop this. I've got to release this. This isn't okay. And so you bless them, you release, you forgive, as long as it comes up to you. There are things to do that are the right thing to do, whether you feel it or not. It's not about feeling. You can't change your feelings. But when you pray the right thing and you give it to the Lord and you take your time to release that thing and to expose that thing and ask the Lord for help, life isn't that difficult if you stop trying to fix it yourself. And commit it to him. Lord, you see this pain, so I'm not going to take it into something else. I'm just going to stay right here and just let you touch it because I know you care about the hurt I have or the offense I have or the struggle I have. If you just keep it between you and him and go, oh, this is ugly, man. Look, I had a boo-boo, right? Do you ever yell at your grandchildren because they have a cut or something on their finger, seen or unseen, you know, and they need a Band-Aid? Like, no, you put a Band-Aid on it. It's a miracle. Little piece of fabric, like sticky stuff, boom, bah, I'm good, right? And if you're really smart, you have a smiley face on it and whatever, okay. We're not that far removed from childhood, just saying. Our hair turned colors and some things changed, but yeah, we're not that far. Hard heart, beware, be careful. For we are mingled with the Messiah if we will continue unshaken in this confident assurance from the beginning until the end. For again, the scripture says, if only today you would listen to his voice. And this is what walking in the Spirit is about. I want to say this as many ways as I can. You want to enter in to the Sabbath rest. It is a realm. It's a place. Not that hard to get into, actually. But you can't come in with any merit of your own. You have to come in kind of like naked with no accomplishments achieved. If you have a Super Bowl ring, just leave it outside. Or a new car, just let that sit out in the driveway where it belongs. Or something else you're taking great pride in, or something that makes you feel worth more than you know? You have to come in naked and unashamed into his rest, and he accepts you there just as you are. No merit added to it. You're just there. And then in that place, add faith. In that place, add believing. The Lord will never be angry about that. He begged and pleaded with Israel to enter into that place, and for 40 years, they would not. Do you understand that they exerted a lot of energy on getting angry at Moses and angry at God and getting some stones ready to kill somebody? That takes a lot of work. Do you know they say getting angry will kill you with a heart attack faster than any other thing? It's that bad. It releases something in you. When you get angry and it stays there, be careful. go chill. Take a cold shower, do something, but get out of that as fast as you can. And the nicest person can have little trigger points that get them angry. And you know that feeling. It's not a rush. It's the death thing. Like, it's bad for you. And so as soon as you can, get out of it. Some people use it to get stuff done. It's like, huh, I did that when I was young. Like, huh, you want to hear a really bad confession? I'm very embarrassed about this. Sometimes when I was very young, way, 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 way back, it was my energy in worship. There was anger mixed that. Now, I'd feel horrible, horrible about it, but I've heard other people in the ministry confess this. I'm like, oh, yeah, they call it the dark oil. It's not from the Holy Spirit. There's this intensity that comes, and it's not the Spirit. It's anger. Wow. Bad stuff. You don't want to function in that. That hardening and that unforgiveness. I'm going to jump to verse 16. So God swore an oath that he would never enter into this calming, that they would never enter into this calming place of rest, all because they disobeyed him. It is clear that they could not enter there into their inheritance because they wrapped their hearts in unbelief. And if you're using the excuse you haven't seen anything happen, like, see, that starts happening. We start developing this testimony about why God's not moving. Another bad practice. Don't do that. Don't do that. Just in your conversations with one another, pay attention to what you're really saying and what you're developing and how you talk about things that have happened. You can have this negative context and you don't even realize what you're doing. Even good things can happen and you have a negative context and it's like, we just got a blessing and we just threw it in the gutter. Like, build your testimony. The Lord provided. Anytime you feel your heart move out of peace, you need to get back to the Sabbath rest. You need to get back to this place. And remember then his testimony. Remember the real of how many times he's provided and how many times he's delivered you, how many times he's led you. We are prone to forget those things. It's a bad thing. It's a bad condition. Remember them. And with one another as your conversation, let your conversation be more about what the Lord has done. And if you truly don't have any of these, then you're a great candidate for your first installment of a provision. One little whisper of asking, you'll get stuff that I have to ask for 3 years for. Because the Lord's so anxious to demonstrate to you. Remember, Moses negotiated this thing with God? First is like, the Lord's like, I'm not going with you. I'll kill you all if I stay with you. So Moses and the people are like, no, no, we can't go from here. I think this is Exodus 33. We're going to go from here without you, without your presence. Like, the Lord's like, he's a softy, actually. All right, I'll go with you. Then the next chapter, show me your face. Like, I can't show you my face. It would kill you. The best I can do is stick you into the cleft of a rock. We were up in a mountain in Colorado hiking, and we were high and the winds were blowing. There was these big rocks and there was a cleft, and I stepped back in it. I'm like, oh my God. I mean, it's like a whole different world up there. I'm like, oh my gosh, this had to be so similar to that situation where God's like, here, you get back in here, and I will cover you with my hand so you can only see my hind after I've walked past you. I'm just like standing, like, and the wind's blowing, and, you know, there's this life, bigger than life, you know, like, stuff's happening. It's just phenomenal. I'm like, oh, yeah, wow. That God invites you in, and and then Moses is like, God declares who he is. I'm the Lord God. Da, 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 he's going on. He says, and I will surely visit the iniquity of anyone who sins. And Moses, you see, all of a sudden he goes, he made haste. He's thinking, uh-oh, we're in trouble. Because we're not very good at doing good for very long. We're going to be in trouble. If you have to, then something has to happen here. Moses jumps in, intervenes. He worships the Lord. And then he pitches something to God. This is such an, it's so crazy, actually. How about you make us your inheritance? How about you, why don't you put your name on us so we are yours? Remember the little scene out of Toy Story? And the one little, you know, Woody has, was it Andy's name on a sole of his, you know? I mean, that was a big deal for a toy to have, you know, the name of the child that loved them on their foot. Like, hey, remember, Woody? Andy loves you. He wrote his name on your foot, you know? And he's like, put your name on us. And the Lord's like, okay, I will make a new covenant with you. I will make a covenant with you. And you know what comes out of his mouth next, God? He starts declaring to them how he's going to protect them, take them, heal, take care of all their diseases. I mean, this was a package. You're a fool to pass up. They were protected from all enemies. They were protected from all diseases. And they were going to be fed by his hand, taking care. I'll take care of you. I'll delight in you. You're going to be my bride, my wife. And man, I'll take care of I'm a good God. So all the other stuff and the negative, it all comes out of this hard heart and not entering into the rest. Chapter 4. Now God has offered to us the same promise of entering into his realm of resting in confident faith. So we must be extremely careful to ensure that we all embrace the fullness of that promise and not fail to experience it. So church assignment, we can give you assignment. You must find the Sabbath rest of God. You must find this and enter into this. You've got to get it. It's not okay to sit here and just listen to it. You must enter into this. Don't worry about faith and doing things and all that until you've got to get into this. And when you get into the rest, then you can hear what the Lord's saying, and then you do. That's the doing, hearing the Spirit, following the Spirit, walking in obedience, and that's the place to add faith. From there, believe. Now it won't be striving. It'll be what you perceive God is doing because you're in that place. You're in that Sabbath place, that place of rest. And what does that mean? It means the work is finished. It's a done deal. It is finished. God creates the heaven and the earth. And on the seventh day, what it says clearly, and he rested from his labors, from the labor of creating the heavens and the earth. And his work is finished. You enter into what is finished. Now you're not trying to conjure up something like faith. I believe. But you're walking in his presence. You enter into him. There is faith in that rest, in that place. And you can find it no matter what chaos you're living in. And out of that place, what does Jesus say right at the end of his crucifixion, gets right to this point, and he utters these words, it is finished. If we're not careful, we're trying to reinvent the wheel. We're trying to reinvent faith. We're trying to conjure up something like the world does. They're into this too. But it's not the same. It's not the same. Different source. So we want to be believing. When we encourage people to have faith and believe, we've got to get them to a place of rest. The striving's got to go in that rest. And that's not about giving up at all. That's about getting in God's presence. That's about entering into everything that he's done for you so that you're not boasting about anything. In the rest, you accept covenant. Jesus says, I want you as my bride. You're like, yes. Just say yes, silly. Will you marry me? I'll love you and treasure you and provide for you. Will you marry? One response, yes, yes. Now everything's on him and nothing's on you except to believe and to obey. Follow the Spirit. You see, everything, there is a lot to do in the ministry, in our life, in our walk, but it comes out of following the Spirit. Stuff happens when you follow the Spirit. That's why I love the prophetic, and I just hope it stirs up more and more and more, because you get a prophetic word and direction, and you function out of that. Shazam, stuff happens. It's a whole different thing. When you're ministering to people and you have a prophetic word, it stirs up their faith so big just for this purpose. They know that you didn't know that, and God must really care about them to know this little detail that's inconsequential to anybody else. But their faith, their spirit rises up. So I contend that the best ministering, not all, unfortunately, but not all, but the best thing is all ministry, all things, that comes out of that perfect, that rest, that place. That place where the work is finished and you're not striving. So that when you give someone an exhortation or you function in any of the gifts, you're functioning out of the place of rest rather than the place of striving. And man, try running a church. The temptation to not be striving shows up every other day. To try to do more. There's nothing that we've accomplished as a church, no place that we've come to that was out of anything we figured out, right? I mean, it just truly was the Lord in his time. I couldn't raise money. I couldn't do anything. Just stuck on a hill in the middle of nowhere, next to a cornfield, near a woods, on a township road. And I'd fuss and worry and strive and figure and, you know, get depressed. Just nothing worked. Doesn't even help to get depressed, right? That's really bad. But at the right time, the Lord just started releasing things and doing things and bringing things and delivering. And you sit back and you go, wow, there's some really neat things that have happened out of that place of waiting on the Lord. And to realize he didn't expect me to keep up with anybody else. I wasn't in a competition, never have been, never was, never will be, with anyone else, any other ministry, any other. I'm only to know the Lord today in my life, for me, for you. Like, we're only to know. Man, do you know how you just can chill, like immediately. Whew. And all things promised, they're all ours. We must make this move. To really all things, they are given it. God gave a covenant. And he upgraded the covenant from the Old Testament, which was actually pretty good. And Jesus came, and wow, then he said, it is finished. Now it's covered in blood. Now it's provided supernaturally beyond the power of his blood, the power of his redemption. And we just need to be careful about our hearts, to repent, to stay soft before the Lord, and to experience all that the Lord has for us. We must repent from doubting and unbelief. It's a monster. When it shows up, just repent from it. You can't really get rid of it, but you can, Lord, there's doubt, there's unbelief in my heart. I just submit that to you and stand before you. And I'm gonna enter into the rest. I'm gonna enter into that place. I'm gonna come just as I am and receive your love for me and your forgiveness for me And you're empowering. You're the one that can, you're the one that can get me beyond to do, to overcome. I pray for that. Rest. So much good can happen if you can rest. If you can come to that thing where the work is finished and then obey the Lord. Is there stuff to do? Yes. But it comes out of a different place. It comes out of you perceiving what the Lord has for you. We must enter in to his rest before we try to function even in faith. It's got to be first. Maybe it is for you. But if it's not, then it's striving. You're fearful. You're panicked. It's like, whoa. Lord, what are you saying? Just take some time. Even when you don't feel like you have time to pray that prayer, say, Lord, before I just want to hear what you're saying. What are you doing? What are you saying? Let's pray, and then I'll open our time up for prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you so much for all that you've done, your testimonies. We do not forget all that you've done for us. We refuse to be those people that are full of unbelief and anger and anxiousness when you've done so much already, and that the opportunities ahead of us are huge and great, and that your perfect peace can come in right in the midst of any chaos we're living in. That only one word from you, when you walk into the room, when you then show up with your voice, your timely word, we ask that you teach us, that you disciple us, that we also know how to have that timely word in the right season to speak words of life, to teach, to instruct, to bring to pass all that your heart is for us, about us. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody for prayer?
Amen. We praise you, Lord. Praise you. You are so good. We have someone to lift up. And this is for Samuel's father-in-law, Lacey's son Samuel. His father-in-law, his name is Scott, and he has cancer, and the doctors have given him only a few weeks. So we will lift our hands because we believe. If you lift your hands towards me, we pray that the hand of God is on this man, Scott. We believe there's healing in your hands. So we lift up our hands and we ask that the hand of God is on Scott. We believe there is peace in your hands. So we lift up your hands. We lift up Scott. We pray that he encounters the Lord. That he encounters the presence of Jesus. That he feels the healing hand of God upon him. That he feels the peace in God's hand. For Scott's family, may the hand of God be upon them. May they feel the peace of God. May they feel the healing in the hand of God upon them. For this man's soul, we lift our hands because we believe his soul is intact. It is in the hand of God. We pray this in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Last week we celebrated the Passover meal. And again, I was reminded of this connection between Passover and our communion. It started when Pastor broke the matzah, and he was wearing this microphone, and even if you were in the back of the church, you could hear the breaking of the bread. And it was so significant. And then there were the bitter herbs. They seemed more bitter this year. If you had a sinus problem, you were healed. And there were tears in people's eyes, and I think somebody was joking. And I watched people's faces as they would take the bitter herbs, and I thought, this is funny. And then I thought, this is not funny. This is supposed to be bitter. In the Passover and in the communion, there was slavery. There was a sacrifice. And then there was freedom, right? The breaking of the bread is significant. There's a revelation in the breaking of the bread for you this morning. In Luke 24, 35, this is the disciples. The disciples were saying Jesus was unrecognizable until he broke the bread. So that's communion today. Some will believe and some will doubt. If you believe, Jesus will make himself recognizable to you. If you ask for forgiveness, he will pardon you. If you are in bondage, he will set you free. Amen? And it's all because of the breaking of the bread. So come, take and eat.